Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, it's an early Mac Show. It's the Mac Show that we're recording before we posted the last one, because I'm crap. But I'm going to post the last one in between the shows today, if you know what I mean. That's like a time paradox in a movie, isn't it?
When you say the week in Mac News, it was last week.
Yeah, this is so. But what's going to happen is I'm going to post last night's show, and then I'm going to post tonight's show as well as right after it. So.
Oh, it's like get a catch up. It's like Netflix.
Yeah, we get all the episodes at once. It's like Orange is the New Black. There we go.
So you can binge.
I can binge. Yes, you can binge on Mac Show. Superb. I hadn't thought that. There's the positive spin for you. You should be in politics, Chuck. You should be helping. You should be helping Donald right now because he's in pup. Well, joining me, a fantastic panel. We've done all right considering we thought we were going to have to count the show, but no, the faithful have returned. Not least of the faithful being Doc, who's because it's 5 a.m. Dude, you are awesome.
Thank you. How you been?
You look remarkably awake.
It's a front. Trust me. It's an absolute front.
Cool. What you been up to?
Just keeping busy, brother. Like, just getting everything sort of back in order since the remodel and trying to... you know, catch up with all of the work and things like that. It's been somewhat of a challenge, but, you know, I'm figuring it out.
Good man. Yeah. I was going to ask you a question because I saw a Japanese word yesterday. I thought I'm going to ask Doc if that's pronounced right because it's like your karaoke thing.
Which is it?
No, I can't remember the word now. I need to remember I'll remember the word during the show. I'll think about it. I'll come back to it.
Okay. All right. I got it. Because it's probably wrong.
Yeah, probably. Next to him, Adam.
Hey,
how's life down there?
It's all right. It's getting a little warm again, but other than that, we're good.
Cool. Good week.
And only a little warm. I don't have hurricanes coming my way or anything. Hey, I got a question though.
Oh, go on.
Is it time yet to change the name of the podcast to Three Americans, a Brit, and a Podcast?
It was four in there. Four Americans. I'm outnumbered.
Well, not today, but anyway.
We got the Frenchophile. No, I'm totally outnumbered today. It's 4-1, isn't it?
Can we have a German?
Yeah, we need the German back. Where's the typical? The German's not here when you need him. He's on a flight to New York, isn't he?
Because he's becoming American.
Do you see the suit he bought himself?
Yeah, I did see that.
He actually looks sharp in that, doesn't he? No. You got to give the dude he looks good in that suit. And the pink shirt. He's totally rocking the pink shirt.
Somehow it made him look younger.
Is that possible? Because he looks like he's a child anyway.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, sir, you cannot come on, go for a beer. He's going to have to pull his ID out constantly, isn't he? Everywhere he goes. Is that a picture of your tsunami running behind you there, mate? Or your hurricane?
Hurricane.
You're under hurricane that. Peak. You're under that somewhere.
somewhere
under the... Patrice, fly well, mate. I hope you're watching live on your flight, because that would be pretty cool. Send us a text if you are, if you haven't got your phone off, and then get shot by the marshal. Shot by the marshal. There's the show title.
Shot by the marshal.
Next to him, it's Chuck. How you doing, man? 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. I love it. I'm honored and having a good time with it.
Excellent, mate.
He's officially a regular.
You are. Yeah, that's it.
Is that what's happened now?
Okay. Yeah, no. Well, you know you've made it when you've got your when you got your caricature.
That's true.
We still. I do recall. I have asked Brett for his three pictures for his caricature.
You haven't asked me for anything.
Have I not asked you for three pictures?
All you ever ask me is to show up and then switch lines.
No, no. So you're supposed... Brett Terpstra's here. Hello, mate. But,
hey.
No, you've made it when... Because I've been asking James Rickards for probably a year now for three pictures of him so that we can get his caricature done for the website.
I would love to send you three pictures.
Right,
I will find three pictures for you.
Send me a head on and a side on and a 45 degree, but make sure you're pulling the face that you want on the caricature.
Head on, side on, and 45 degree. Okay.
You got that? Yeah. Send them to me, and we'll get Len to knock them up.
Okay.
Ellis is just about to make his first. This is kind of exciting. This is an exclusive. My son has got a little debit card thing that I bought for him, which is, I'm going to mention at the end of the show because it is really cool. And he said we've had questions flooding in about which is the long card number. Well, it's the really long one on the front. Well, I've only got 4 digits. No, those 4 digits make 16 digits because there's 4 of them. Ah, right. And what about the expiry date? Which one's that? The one that's got expiry on it. So he's had this little thing. He's his first buying experience, and he's just about to go and buy something on Amazon for the first time. So I've just got a message.
He's becoming a man.
He is. I took him to, I go to a breakfast club for business, and I said to him, you ought to come, and you'd enjoy it. And he went, oh, I don't know. I said, come along, just have a free breakfast. You don't have to do anything. And he stood up in front of 50 people and said who he was and what he did. And then at the end, when you say, I'd like a referral, he said, I'm looking for some people to do a photo project with. And he said, and I was blubbing. My boy was stood up. Doesn't need me no more. Oh, it's it. He's just bought a £10 PSN voucher.
What is a PSN?
PlayStation Network.
Oh.
He still needs you, Ewan.
No. This is cracking. I've just bought it. Has it come through yet? Ellis, it's not going to come to me. It's going to go to your email address because it's your bank card. It's your big boy moment. I love my boy.
It's awesome because he wants to, like, you know, level up on some folks, so he needs that PSN card to get his Fortnite on.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's buying. Oh, actually, I've just got an email. So how the hell's he managed that then?
He probably tied his Amazon he's found your email.
Yeah, no, it's saying funds have been added. So he's got it. It's straight on his PSN account. My boy's a hero. Yeah. There we go.
That's cool. Go. That's freaking awesome.
Live on air. Yeah, but it tells you how much I've spent and how music I have.
Okay. You know, when we were kids, you didn't have that coming of age moment until you asked your dad, why is there hair coming out? And now it's about getting your Amazon card on.
Oh, mate, we've had... I don't even start talking to you about Bryony's evolution. She's got names for everything. It's like they've got like puppy names and stuff. It's like I can't get over it. No, adolescence has struck the Rankin household with a vengeance.
You guys aren't allowed to have shotguns though, right?
I got a shotgun.
Okay, cool. So that way, when any little lads come over to quote unquote study, stand at the door with your shotgun, and then like post a picture of like Brett and I in the background. And be like, those dudes would fly all the way from America. You ever seen, Lock, Stock, and Smoking Barrels? You know how crazy Americans are about guns. Those are my lads. Do something stupid.
My buddy Abby.
Just have our pictures ready to show the guy, like a little portfolio. Let me show you this keynote real quick. These are my boys. And the skinny German one's the one you need to worry about.
The week in Apple, that's why we came, I think. all the stuff that's gone on in the Apple news. First story, Tim Cook poised to receive around $120 million in Apple stock as his tenure and performance award. Does he give most of this away or not?
Tim Cook?
Yeah, does he keep it all or does he give it away? Or?
I think he's a little like Steve when it comes to that personally, that he most likely does. I don't know for sure. I would assume he does just based on his personality and the changes he's made with philanthropic efforts at Apple. But I think he doesn't toot his own horn about it. I know he's given money to some of the organizations around in and around Duke, you know, his alma mater.
Right. He's sponsoring the football team.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cook now has a net worth of around $700 million, according to Bloomberg, but has previously said he plans to give away most of his wealth.
Oh, look at this. And here's a story from the Loop. Tim Cook donated nearly $5 million worth of Apple shares to charity. So, I don't know how all that stuff works.
23,215 shares.
As a charity, I think it would kind of be nice to be given Apple shares since they constantly keep going up. But then it depends on, you know, like from a nonprofit standpoint, how do you not show income, I guess, or you just pull it when you need it?
No. So the way tax works with nonprofits is you're allowed an operating surplus. So in other words, you can have a profit, in inverted commas, at the end of the year, but you just claim that that's your operating surplus for the next year. So I do work with Midlands Air Ambulance, and they have to carry an operating surplus of £9 million. So they have to show that they've got enough money for the next year to operate so that they can continue to then operate. So that they're constantly making, you know, first year they had to make £18 million, now they're making £9 million, and it goes up by the scale of inflation of the helicopter parts and all that kind of stuff. So it's a really tough thing for them to do, but if you're a charity or a not-for-profit, you can show that you have an operating surplus. That's your profit, effectively. So it's not too bad.
This needs to be renamed the tax show.
Sorry?
Rename this the tax show.
The British Tax Network.
The British Tax Show, yeah.
The British Tax Network. That sounds like a consortium to defraud, doesn't it? Mr. Rankin, you are charged with being head of the British Tax Network. Apple Pay now accepted at all Costco in the US. Is that a new story? Because it doesn't feel like it should be.
Yeah, it is new. And the crazy part about this is I got the news on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, today is Wednesday. So I got the news on Tuesday and I was like, oh, this is great. I'm going to go to Costco and check it out. I have some things I need to buy. But Chuck and Brett will probably see this tonight on CNN. One of the things you never want to do is be near a Costco when there's a hurricane or a tsunami warning coming towards Hawaii, because the entire population runs to Costco to buy water and toilet paper. I have no understanding of the toilet paper and the water thing. I guess because, like, I store water, you know, like I have buckets on the lanai balcony, as you folks call it.
Right.
And I have toilet paper stored up from the last hurricane watch. But every single one, people run to Costco and buy basically toilet paper spam. So the lines to get into Costco yesterday were like a mile long in all four Costcos. It's pretty ridiculous.
What about duct tape? Aren't you supposed to buy duct tape?
You do also buy duct tape and plywood. So Home Depot was ridiculous because you board the windows and you put X's on your windows like that, you know, so that they don't shatter. And then so yeah, Home Depot and Costco are actually stuck next to each other in three of the locations. So I'm not going anywhere near that mess. It's ridiculous. But I've been dying to try this because I pretty much have gone to sort of, I think Adam brought this up almost 2 years ago. I try to frequent the stores that do Apple Pay and nothing else.
So it's a loyalty scheme for you.
It's a speed game, you know, like in comparison to dealing with the stupid chip and pin, which is new to us. You guys had it forever, but you go to places that have a, you know, chip system, you put the card in and then it'll ask you to pin. And then later it'll say, well, can you sign this too? And it's like, dork, that's the whole point of chip and pin, is not to have to do that. You know, So a lot of companies here are having problems understanding how it works. And we're talking large retail chains, not even small retail chains. So, just becomes irritating.
For coffee houses and restaurants, if you pay with a card and don't sign anything, unless they're using one of those, you know, apps that ask you what to tip, a lot of people don't think to tip at all. So I kind of, if they don't offer or if they don't ask for a signature, I get confused because I don't carry cash. Yeah, it's a side note. I can't use Apple Pay yet. My bank is way behind the times.
Yeah.
I shop places that my Amazon card gets me extra credit.
Chuck, you're going to have to dive in, mate. No one's going to let you in. So just cut through.
No. It's I use Apple Pay as much as I possibly can. I there's not a Costco real near me, so I don't shop at Costco. But every chance I get, I use Apple Pay. And I use Apple Pay on my watch. That always surprises me that so many people seem to have Apple Watches but don't use Apple Pay on the watch because it's even more convenient.
Do you have to turn it upside down on the thing?
Yeah, but it's, yeah.
No, you just wear it upside down.
Yeah, but either way, it's still faster than pulling out your phone.
Yeah. And getting the thumbprint or the face scan, Yeah.
I finally got to use it at my ATM, which I was super excited about, so.
And how did it go?
Brilliant.
You got your cash?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, yeah, you just wave my Apple Watch, enter the PIN. There was a woman next to me with her card, and I was out of there in about half the time that she took.
Pitchforks is in the chat room. Thank God. We got one person in the chat room because we moved the shows. No one knows we're here. Well done. Welcome, Pitchforks. So, Chuck, so Brett, have you made a conscious decision not to carry cash, or is it just I'm too lazy now to carry cash?
I haven't carried cash since I had my first debit card. I do not like paper and change in my pocket. Too easy to lose.
Same way.
Well, I don't but I don't know how I can get away from it.
I carry a flat wallet that fits in my front pocket, and that's it.
And in my car, I have a little receptacle to collect all the change, and then I bring that in the house with me so no one gets the harebrained idea to crack a window. And I have this thing that looks like about a meter high beer bottle. It is currently full up to the part where it rounds over and goes up to the neck. It's about right there, full of change. So we have a facility known as Coinstar. And so right before my Japan trip, I could take that thing and dump it into a Coinstar machine. And I guarantee you it comes out to close to $1,500. And there's like an 11% charge to get it converted to cash, but it's free if you convert it to an Amazon card.
Yep.
So that's what I use to buy my absolutely frivolous crap when I'm going somewhere, because I can't stand the sound of change jingling in your pocket. And yeah, it's just blah.
No.
Hate cash, hate change.
I hate it. Don't get me wrong, but I just can't get away from using it.
Where do you use cash?
Where's my wallet?
So I'm going out. So tomorrow I'm going out with some pals for a beer. Some business pals, and we're just going to cruise around some Birmingham bars, and I'll pay for cash with everything, and I'll draw out a couple hundred quid, and it'll be cash all day.
I just open a tab, just give him my card, tell him to keep it open.
Right.
And you can get things done with cash you can't get done with credit cards or Apple.
Well, sure, drugs, but...
drugs.
Yeah, because look at Chuck. He's the kingpin of drugs of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's why he's got the tie.
Yeah, they call him Chuck Gotti.
Chuck Gotti. I've been called worse.
The Rackets.
Nothing so fearsome.
So come on, Rackets, Rackets joiner. Tell us how you extort with cash.
No, it's not a case of extorting. It's just, you know, cash opens doors. Cash opens doors. You know, to Brett's point, what he was saying about tipping. You know, it's sometimes. The Apple Pay does not give you any option to tip, and the only option you have is cash. If you truly want to express gratitude for some extra service, or if you're looking to get service and open those doors, cash is the way to do it.
That's fair.
Yeah. One of the things that makes it hard though is, like, I think when I go to Japan, I don't mind the paper money as much, and part of the reason for that is they use plastic money and it's a little bit smaller. I know Canada also has plastic money. Our paper money is just thick and bulky, and a lot of people ball it up, so it's hard to get nice, straight, even, clean, crisp 20s. So if I'm at a case where I have to carry cash, like if I'm doing something, I'll go to the bank and swap out the old bills for new bills, because I just can't stand the bulk and the disgustingness of plastic money. I mean, paper money.
Oh, there
at
is,
least
there,
plastic money, you can clean it.
There is a huge culture of carrying a roll in New York, New Jersey, isn't there?
Oh, sure. Yeah,
how big your roll is like the size of your penis.
Yeah. I come from that. We have a game in New York called Big Bank Take Little Bank, and you just pull out your wad, and whoever has the biggest one gets to take from all the little guys. That's just how it is. So it became a thing to, like, literally walk around with, like, $1,000 cash in your pocket, and that's pretty stupid. roll up on somebody that just takes it from you. So, yeah.
That sounds like American economics in general.
True.
Pretty much.
Adam, you had a point.
I was just going to say, I mean, the tip thing is an interesting thing to think about when it comes to Apple Pay, because, you know, there's no reason technology-wise Apple couldn't add like an Uber-esque or a Lyft-esque kind of thing where you complete the transaction and then you can come back, or it even prompts you to come back for certain things like restaurants, or, you know, when it recognizes, oh, this is a service transaction, you know, in that category, that just prompts you and says, hey, you'd like to add a tip to that, and then you could
right. Well, and Square does that.
Yeah, yeah, Square does. So does GoPayments, because I use QuickBooks and GoPayments in the shop, and when people get ready to use Apple Pay, there's a screen before they pull the card out that asks if, I mean, before they before you do the tap, there's a screen that pops up that says, do you want to add a tip to the total? So when you show them the total, it's given the opportunity to add a tip, and then there's five buttons, you know, 10 through 25. And I kind of hate that, because I have literally had people give me a, you know, bigger tip if it's something that I've gone out of the, you know, ordinary for. So I wish it had the custom button was larger. The custom button is the smallest one on the screen.
Yeah, I think the
right. So Apple Pay could easily add that either before you complete, right before you complete the transaction, or immediately after. It could just prompt you. Maybe before.
That is my favorite solution.
There was just a button on that first screen with your card that said add tip. That's probably the right way to do it.
I mean, the other thing with cash as well is you know that it goes to the server that you're giving the money to, whereas
right.
there's places here in the UK where right. the company, and I won't go in them now I know that they do it, but I'll always ask the server, do you get the tip? And a lot of times I've had people say, no, we don't. We get paid minimum wage, and then the tip is cashed by the company. If you put it in on the PIN, we only get the tip if you give us cash. So if you pay by a card or with a credit card or that kind of stuff, the company has to process that and then pay it back to the servers. And the admin for that costs them money and they don't want to do it. So they just don't do it, plain and simple. Whereas if you leave actual physical cash on the table, the servers get to keep it.
We have a couple of places here that will do a variation on that, and they will, the company will take and put the tip in a pool for all the servers. And that always bothers me because, you know, I'm tipping the server that's giving me the service, not the other people. I don't know what level of service they give. So that's another reason
that. They do that anyway, though,
if I really want to make sure that somebody gets the tip, I'm going to give them the cash.
But they do that with the cash anyway. They all go into the kitchen at night and divvy it up, because that, otherwise the chefs would get nothing.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, so they do that anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, a common thing here now with especially the smaller restaurants is that where you have a galley kitchen or a window kitchen where you can actually see what the chef's doing, these guys will have a beer bucket right in the front. And one of my favorite brunch places here is really awesome, because when you, you know, you go by on the way out, you put money in a beer bucket for the kitchen, and the whole lot of them start banging the pots and screaming really loud. And it's really awesome because it just energizes the whole restaurant. And then so other people see that and what, like, hey, I want to be a part of that. So you see people get up from the table and walk over and put money in the thing too. And so the clanging and screaming can go on for like 10, 15 minutes. But I love that because it allows people to understand those guys work really hard. And when I was a waiter, like, I did have one place where we didn't do that for the chefs. And I always gave them money because I never wanted my food to be screwed up. So I would buy them a what they call a cold pack here, which is 24 beers in a box, and give them Hawaii's favorite leafy vegetable. And my food was never messed up. So therefore, I made bigger tips.
Good. Excellent. iPhone is coming. Pre-orders September 14th, which is the Friday, which means September 10th. Is going to be the keynote.
Gangster.
Excited? Looking forward to it?
Yes and no.
Ambivalent? So we've had a conversation about, because Ellis is like, you know, can I have your phone? and I'm like, well, yeah, but I'm not upgrading necessarily. And he's, what do you mean? It's been 2 years since you've had a phone. I'm like, yeah, but they've got to do something more with the camera. If they do something loads more with the camera in the 10 plus or the 11 or whatever they're going to call it,
10.2.
Thanks, man. Uh-huh. Then I will upgrade. Yeah. And there's another report out today, wasn't it? It's £1,500 they reckon for a 512 tricked out version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's for the 512.
Yeah, for the 512. which I think that's possibly even an Apple leaks to get everyone to go, oh, bloody hell, it's £1,500, and then they come out and go, no, it's not, it's £1,299. And everyone goes, oh, well, that's all right then, even though it's gone up £100. But I think they've got to, for me, to justify having it, they've got to do something with the camera. Am I excited to see what they've come up with? I'm intrigued, but I wouldn't say I'm excited for September 10th.
Well, if you're hoping for camera, big camera updates, I think you're not getting a phone.
Really?
I don't think they're going to do anything. What could they do that would put you over the top with the camera, other than up the megapixels?
I'd like to see it go to 18 megapixels. I'd like to see 120 frames a second, 1080, 60 frames a second, 4K.
I don't know if they'll go that high.
And I want to see something that's good with post-processing in it as well, but isn't just HDR shit. Because I think the HDR is done really subtly at the moment in the iPhone. I really like the way it does it. It's a real positive.
There hasn't been many rumors around the camera. So, I mean, it's going to be spec bumps in the camera, and I doubt that it's going to be major spec bumps. I mean, whatever, we're at 12 now. So, like, yeah, I'd be surprised.
I think they won't go above 12, because that'll do up to A3 without any kind of problems in reproduction. And you can push it to A2 quite comfortably with good fractal software. So I don't think there's a need to up the megapixelage in the consumer mind, although I'd like it, but I don't count.
Right.
So what are you guys going for? Are you excited, or are you intrigued? What's it going to take you to move to a new one, or are you going to stay where you are, or what?
I just get a new one because of what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, so am I excited to get a new one and pay another, you know, plus $1,000? Not super this time around, no. Like, if I was just a consumer, I wouldn't not be upgrading. I'm really happy with my 10. I like it a lot. The number one thing they can do for me is improve Face ID. Because you get speed it up. I kind of hate.
Really? Now, you were the one that was going on about how great it was. So what's going on?
No. I've never said it was great.
Oh, okay.
I've always said it's far less than what I had with Touch ID for me.
I miss Touch ID.
I miss Touch ID, and I've still got it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But again, but knowing that it's a new technology, and just like with Touch ID took about 2.5 generations to really get right. And I finally did upgrade to iOS 12, the beta, and it feels like Face ID is working a little bit better software-wise. Oh, so I think if the hardware improves a tad, I think it can get to the point where it's like Touch ID. But there's always going to be those scenarios where Touch ID worked, Face ID doesn't. And so, you know, like, when things are sitting on the desk, there's little conveniences that are different. And recognizing, too, that Touch ID was the other way around, because a lot of people will comment, well, I live in the snow or in the winter where we wear gloves, and Touch ID was horrible for me, and Face ID is great because I don't have to take my gloves off to unlock my phone. So I get, you know, there's trade-offs. So.
And conversely, Face ID works with sunglasses.
Right.
Whereas Touch ID couldn't work with gloves. Like, Face ID is more flexible in that way.
Yeah. So it's
definitely better on 12, though. I was going to ask you, Adam, if you had Switch, but you already stated that. Yeah, it's definitely better on 12 than it is before. And again, we remember now, we're only on 12.9, so we don't have a polished beta completely yet. So I still see parts where they'll fix it, but it's way, way better before. Ewan, I had a question. You said 4K at 60 frames per second?
Yeah, it's currently 30, isn't it?
No, the iPhone 10 is 4K at 60 frames per second, has been for a year.
Are they doing 1080 at 120 then?
1080 is only at 60 for now, but I mean, yeah, that could be that would be the secondary one. The iPhone 8 and 10 already shoot 4K at 60 FPS.
I might even say 1080 at 240 as well.
No, the thing that's crazy is, if they do that, I mean, you figure at 60 right now, you're already eating up, 400 megabytes, you know, per second on a thing like that. So if they do that, they have to make the phone 512. But if they make the phone 512, then the price goes up, and then everybody just goes, oh, that'll just raise the price for no reason. So it's a really weird catch 22. If they give you this 64 gig phone that shoots basically 800 megabyte per second video, so that you can shoot what, a 10 second video and fill your phone, like, people are going to lose their mind. So when you posit the question, like, am I excited? I'm excited for the phone. I'm excited for the technology that we may or may not get, which we'll decide when that comes out. What I'm not excited for is the annual bozacity of the craziest, this kind of gate, that kind of gate, Apple sucks, they're being greedy, this is a problem, that's a problem, they're not going to sell a million, they're going to sell 80 million, then they really sell 70 million, they go, ah, people screwed up because they only sold 80 million. I'm like, that part of the industry is really starting to hurt my face. So that's the part I'm not looking forward to.
I've always hated that part. I don't get into the rumors and then the predictions and then the complaints and then the freakouts and then everything stables out and then everyone forgets that they were freaked out and they go through the same thing every freaking time.
And half like the time, they don't know it's rumors, coming. That's the part that's crazy.
Yeah, half the time the rumors, you know, the rumors are such that they can't possibly live up to the rumors. You know, so and so inevitably there's a bit of a backlash, disappointment kind of thing. Is you know, we were supposed to get this magical device, and it's only half magical, and so it's a failure. No, come on.
Problem is it's a smartphone. You know, smartphones were revolutionary, what Apple was doing 10 years ago. It's a super mature product line now for everybody. There's not much left to do with a smartphone other than, you know, rev minor things. Like, there's they've run out of ideas, and I'm not sure that there are other ideas that even make sense. And anytime
holographic
you see a competitor go off on some weird new thing, it's a gimmick. And even a lot of Apple's recent technologies are just gimmicks.
I think they're waiting for
you. Animoji.
For use cases. If you look at AR, I think AR at the moment is still at the gimmick level. I know there's games you can play on it and stuff like that, which is great, and it's fair enough. But the number of utilities is quite small in comparison to where it could be going. And I want to see AR more with that.
Yeah, sorry. AR on the phone is not the revolution. AR, for AR to be a revolution or a thing, it's not going to happen on a phone. It's going to happen some other way. I don't know what that other way is, or it's going to integrate at a more holistic level, maybe across devices.
Honestly, glasses are going to take off. I mean, Google may not have made Google Glass a thing, but the idea of that very personal, like, no one else is looking at your screen, yours is omnipresent, it's going to create a whole new generation of ADHD kids, that kind of just constant in your face, literally, information. But that's where AR becomes truly integrated, truly holistic, is some kind of display that doesn't require walking with your phone in front of you.
Tim Cook has talked about it on multiple occasions as augmented self kind of stuff. I mean, that's where it needs to be. Sorry, Chuck.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And I think where Google messed it up was there was so much emphasis on the idea that you could record, that, you know, you can walk around, record everything in front of you. If they had never put that in, I think they would have had half a chance at being able to take that product and evolve it. But everybody freaked out so much that every time you got an elevator and anybody was wearing Google Glass, you're suddenly afraid to say anything.
No one talks in elevators anyway, Chuck. That's not an excuse.
Okay, not the best example, but
no, that's a good example.
Yeah, but the point is that, you know, even the most casual conversation could be captured or overheard by somebody that happened to be near you with Google Glass. And I think that, you know, they kind of fouled up on the... They should have focused on delivering information rather than recording everything around you. I think that was a mistake.
They just need to put a flashing red light when you're recording so everyone knows. Because honestly, there are so many times that I wish I had recorded what I just saw, because it happened and then it was gone and there was no way I would have been able to pull my phone out in time. And I've always thought, man, if I just had something that was recording everything I saw, and then I could just be like, save the last 5-minute buffer, because I want to keep that. That would be great. But I agree, it's super freaky to think that everyone around you is recording you. And who knows who else gets that information then? You have all the privacy concerns. Living in the UK, you're very familiar with the idea of being watched all the time anyway.
Well, that's the way the slow-mo works on my camera. It sits and records. When you set it to 240 frames a second, it sits and records constantly and overwriting constantly, and then it only gives you the last 8 seconds when you hit the record button. So you see this big shower of sparks come out, and you go, right, okay, I'll have that, and then it gives you 8 seconds up to where the big shower of sparks came out.
Brad, if you go back, I talked to somebody, and I'm sorry, I do not remember the name, but I think the product is actually shipping. I talked to someone at CES this year. I interviewed them about just that. It's almost like a lanyard thing you hang around your neck with that is a camera, and it's recording everything.
Oh, it's a police body cam.
Yeah, basically. I mean, because what you just described is a dash cam right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly what I have in my car. If I want to save the last 30 seconds, I reach up and hit a button.
Yeah.
It's Twitch. Twitch has the same feature, the gaming streaming thing. If you're watching a streamer, you can hit a clip button, and it will capture what just happened and then give you an interface to edit it and then save it and share it.
Yeah. Faster, more efficient wireless charging is coming as well with copper coiling in the...
And to the watch as well, yeah.
Supposedly. Yeah.
So yeah, rumor has it.
Rumor has it. What's the wireless charging like on the 10? Those of you that have got
it. I love it. Absolutely love it. That is my favorite thing about the phone.
So I've had another week of trials and tribulations with wireless. This week in wireless charging for Ewan. But it's I've had to get rid of my Q-lock case because it was a bit too thick. And I've gone for an ultra-thin one. And now I've gone for the ultra-thin one. I'm not getting the same problem anymore. It's fine.
Well, that's because you have that little, like, inexpensive aftermarket thing, right?
Yeah. So it's but it's highly reliable now. I've got the thinner case, so I've gone from hating it back to hating it back.
I installed a flush mount Qi charger in my desk. Nice. Drilled a hole through the surface and dropped it in. I had to 3D print a bevel for it to get it to work, but thanks to a friend with a 3D printer, it's beautiful. But then in my car, I really like a magnetic mount, and I'm still using an older one that has a magnetic pad that really kind of screws up my ability to charge with a case on. So I'm in limbo. I wish I could get both. I have seen cases that actually have like a grid pattern for the metal part for the magnet connection that allows charging through it, but I haven't seen those be as efficient as just a bare phone.
No.
Brett, why do you let me pull this. Why do you like the I'm unplugging it, of course. Why do you like a flat though on your desk? Why, I mean, I've got this kind of charger, and that's what I always prefer. I want my phone sitting up looking at me, or me able to look at it, as opposed
Never liked stands. I built out of wood a stand that just sits at 15 degrees, and I keep that next to my keyboard so that I'm looking down at my phone and it's not like in my face in front of the screen. I like my phone flat. Okay. I prefer to look down and over to see what's going on my phone rather than have it be a constant distraction while I'm looking at my screen.
Okay, the distraction thing makes a certain amount of sense. But I always want to see what's going on, or I don't want to have to reach for it if somebody texts me or it rings or whatever. I want to be able to look at it and decide whether I'm going to deal with it or not.
Yeah, but I answer phone calls and read texts on my computer. I don't need my phone for that.
Yeah, see, that's a good point. I sit and I put my phone on a charger when I'm at work during the day. And actually, for most of the day, I don't touch my phone because anyone sends me a message, it comes up in iMessage and I'm typing back.
Right.
That's true. Yeah.
So
I use the vertical chargers again so that I can see it, but I do believe that most of my interactions happen to come from the computer or the watch. So yeah, it completely makes sense. I just like the vertical stand so that I look at my phone for the clock for whatever reason, which is strange because the computer has it, but the numbers are bigger on the phone. So I look at for that. And I guess I FaceTime a lot. You know, so it's like already set up at the right angle for FaceTiming.
Okay. But I also FaceTime on my computer and I wear a watch. So give me another reason.
No, I don't like the camera, the FaceTime camera on my iMac. I hate it. I have a 4K Sony 2000 sitting here. That's the camera that I'm using now. It just feels really weird when I use that for FaceTime. I don't know why. So I just use my phone because it's right there.
All right.
But also my camera requires me to put on my headphones and move the mic into the front and, you know, FaceTime the full studio route. And that's just weird. So, yeah, I just use my phone for that.
Fortnite not coming to Apple TV. And I read this story on the Mac Observer, and there was a bit of me who was thinking, why would it? Because the Apple TV
is now...
Why wouldn't it? Because the Apple TV is way too simplified. Yeah, but you can't... You look at the number of buttons that you've got. You've got four build buttons.
I got a PlayStation controller for my Apple TV.
Really? And it works?
Steel case.
Yeah.
Yeah, steel case.
Yeah. Those are really nice. I don't even play many games, but I do know what a good game controller feels like, and that one has the full stick, D-pad, finger buttons.
Surely Apple TV hasn't got the crunch, though, to deal with Fortnite.
I don't know if it does.
I bet
surely
it would.
Not.
No, there's probably the reason. There's the only reason why is because it doesn't have enough base.
I don't know. I think you guys are underestimating the ARM chips and the and the GPUs that are in there to do the 4K and stuff like that.
Wow. If you're telling me that the Apple TV has got enough chunder to get through a game of Fortnite, I'm impressed.
That would raise the question, why are there not better games available for the Apple TV then?
That would be a massive question, absolutely.
I think the biggest issue is the loading stuff. I think for a lot of people, Apple has that restriction where you can only download like 250 meg. I forget what the limit is, but there's a limit in terms of the chunks of data that you can download. So I believe Fortnite installs like a couple gigs and they couldn't load the whole game up front. They have to like pull it down in chunks. So you have to, as you load through, and it might be divided up in enough ways. So I think it's more about the restrictions that Apple has put in terms of the sandboxing and sort of some of the storage restrictions, maybe even the RAM restrictions, than it would be about the actual processor or GPU, I would guess. That would just be my guess.
Sure.
That makes sense.
I mean, it's why Disney got rid of their... They had a game on there, Well, they killed the whole game eventually, but, you know, they had that little game with the figurines that you buy.
Infinity, yeah.
And I mean, there's Minecraft on there. And I know that's not compared to Fortnite. It's not the same, but it has some hefty requirements too. So, I don't know. I mean, there's some pretty amazing 3D games on there, especially if stuff's written in metal. I think the other problem is a lot of these developers, they want to use platforms where it's write once and run everywhere. And a lot of times those virtualized libraries, when you start have to virtualize those on top of, so when you're not writing native, that becomes an issue as well. So, you know, depending upon what technologies they're using, like if they're using OpenGL, that's obviously something that Apple's moving away from. So yeah, a lot of times it comes down to the amount of effort to port something like that versus the number of players. And my suspicion would be that would be more likely the reason why they wouldn't do it. It's just they looked at it economically and went, for the amount of development effort to actually get it to run the way it needs to run, it's not worth the investment.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think it would, but... I don't see a lot of kids playing on Apple TV. I might too sit and watch the Apple TV, but I don't see them playing games on it. And we've got some games on there that they would want to play.
I told you guys a story about the time I was in an Apple store right before Christmas, and there was some woman walking around, and she was looking at the Apple TV, and the genius came over, and I should have jumped in. I feel so bad for this kid, but. She explains to the sales guy that, you know, her nephew or somebody wanted a gaming system, and that's what she was looking for. And then he starts to sell her on the Apple TV with a controller.
I almost and you let in. Him.
And, like, run. He wants an Xbox or a PlayStation. Go to Best Buy.
Yeah,
get out of here.
That's disgraceful.
But, yeah, Well, he was doing his job. It wasn't disgraceful. I mean, she was asking about games, and he's like, yes, this will play games, and here's how you can do it. But
yeah, but he should be legally required. Yes,
I know.
He should be legally required saying, but not very good games.
No. It's capable, but...
Okay, so here's the thing about the clientele at Apple and the specialists. Nowadays, they hire specialists sort of based on this wide, diverse range of we want to have all sorts of personalities in order to match our clientele. Now, do you think that guy knew what a gaming console kind of thing was?
It was very obvious what she was looking for, and she was obviously not super tech burst.
Yeah, and got the mom angle, but what about the dude? Like, did he look like... Okay, so like myself or Patrice or Jerome or somebody sat there and go, plays games, you look like an absolute douchebag. You know what I'm saying? But like...
He knows the difference between a Nintendo and an Apple TV, and you cannot tell me there is one, you know, preteen to teenage kid that's hoping for an Apple TV gaming system under the Christmas tree.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm talking about. You don't know that. If he was a young cat and he pulled that, then he's an a-hole. He should have straight up told the truth, you know. But like we in my Apple store, we have a couple of like, you know, geezers that work there, and you know they are well intended and they know some of the stuff about like software. So when people come and ask them about scrapbooking apps or ask them about using Pages, like they're well versed. But if someone came and asked them about gaming, they wouldn't know what to even start to say. So they normally would defer to somebody who's a gamer, and every store does have that gamer. So like I was just wondering if that guy looked like he had enough skills to know that he should be sending them to Microsoft store or a Sony store.
I take it Chuck's not a gamer either.
I'm sitting this one out.
There's
not a game on any of my systems.
Well, Adam proved himself to be not.
I can't get rid of it.
Adam took on my son at Fortnite the other night in public, and he proved himself not to be a gamer as well.
No, it's true. I'm horrible at those games. Minecraft is more my speed.
Even I was sitting there. I
play a little Hearthstone now and then too.
I am utterly shit at Fortnite, and even I was going, dude, you're crap. You're worse than me.
Oh,
it's about putting in time, and I don't have time to put in.
I'm still trying to get the hang of building stuff, so I always get shot while I'm trying to build something because I'm too busy being undecisive about building.
Dude, what you need to do is arrange a tuition session with my son. He's giving tuition on Twitch.
All right, you can. And now that he has a credit card account, we can pay him.
Yeah, you can pay him for his tuition. That's right. There we go. I take 10% for that, though.
No, screw that.
Like, are you saying tuition?
I'll give money to Ellis and Brandy, but you get shite.
Oh, he's got the medication.
Yeah, no, did I say tuition?
Yes. I don't know what you're saying.
Tuition.
Tutorials, but tuition is when you pay someone to teach you, so I'm down with that.
Oh, okay.
Tuition.
A tutorial is just
teaching. Brett, you've had one of those moments that's like where you've had a mini stroke where you've forgotten the word tuition.
Well, you used it in a way that would not be standard in the American English language.
You just started it with a CH in your head.
You charge tuition. You don't give tuition.
No, you give tuition.
No, you charge tuition.
Tuition, teaching or instruction, especially if individuals or pupils or small groups. Tuition.
That's
private tuition tutoring in French. And it says now North American, so you can't even blame it on the British English.
Hey, I'm sorry. You're all wrong. You give tutoring. You charge tuition.
It's from the Latin word tuitia.
Now, normally I would give Doc grief because he's quoting from Merriam-Webster, which is not a proper dictionary.
I'm not using Merriam-Webster. I'm using Google and I'm using Sergey and Larry.
I'm using Merriam-Webster via Google.
I'm looking for what they quoted this as a source.
Those things that come up in Google search, that data is not from Google.
Yeah, I know it's not.
Scrape.
I'm looking to see where the scrape came from, smartasses.
But I'm sorry, we're not all wrong, Brett. I promise you.
Yeah. Hey, no, you can think what you want, but you're wrong. I'm just kidding. I don't care.
Oh, you know why, Brett? I know why you think what you think, and you're kind of right for thinking that, except for when you do what you're thinking of, it's called a tuition payment. So you are paying slash for said for tuition.
Yeah.
Okay. And tuition Fine. Itself isn't the right term.
Fine.
We truncate I'm stuff wrong. Because we try to speak fast.
I was wrong about you all being wrong.
That thud that you heard was Brett's teddy hitting the corner. See, now, we'd have believed you more readily if you'd have worn the shirt and tie, Brett. Because
I know.
We would never have dissed Chuck like that because he's got a shirt and tie.
Credibility.
So, yeah, that's all it is. This podcast, Knowledge, is brought to you by TSO Hosts. They are unbelievable. We lost our server time and all that kind of stuff. TSO Hosts jumped in and saved our bacon. They've given us two massive servers to do the live streaming and to do all of the stuff that we do with BTN. We're probably going to be able to keep all of our content as well, so we won't have to get all the video content off, so you can go back and look at old shows, which means the NQN channel might come back again soon as well. Here's the best bit. Everyone's been going, but are there offer codes you? Well, actually, most of what they do is about half the price anyway of anywhere else, so I wouldn't worry. However, and this is the best bit, they're giving BTN listeners 30% off all hosting services. 30%, 30. So all you got to do when you check out is type in BTN30. You're transferring all your services over to TSO Hosting now. You're taking everything, your domain name, your servers, your virtual stuff, your VPNs, your VPSs, anything at all to do with your web stuff is going over to them, and you're getting 30% discount for the privilege. BTN30 is your offer code, and you are getting it. How good are these people? All right, I thought it was good. Bollocks the rest of you.
It's great.
It's fantastic, yeah. A little cheer would have been nice, you bastards. all right, don't overdo it.
Yay, TSO host.
Yeah. And also, thanks to the people at Telestream who give us Wirecast that lets us do all the video switching and all that kind of stuff. Again, we'd be lost without them. It's a great piece of software. If you've got anything where you want to try and broadcast something, I nearly took this last week. I did there's a young girl in the local village, and she's won a place at Dublin Music College, which is phenomenal for her, but she hasn't got a scholarship for it. She's going to have to pay for it herself. So she got all her mates together, and they put a night on Broadway on at the local hall. And actually, I thought it was going to go down and just, you know, hear some kids squealing a little bit, thinking they could sing. These people can proper sing. There was one lad. He absolutely stopped the room dead. Even the kids stopped messing around and playing to listen to him sing one song. He was absolutely unbelievable. And I was going to take that down so I could record everything and broadcast it out later. And they said, no, don't worry, it's fine. We'll do another one maybe another time. And I really wish I'd done it. And I would have taken the broadcast software and broadcast it, because there were a few nans and things like that that couldn't get there. And it would have been great if they could have watched it. So, yeah, please check out Telestream. And ScreenFlow 10 is a massively featured new piece of software from Telestream.
So good.
Which is, yeah, it's its final cut, effectively. It's brilliant. And Hoya, please check out Hoya. There's now a place in York where you can go and get, in Leeds, sorry, where you can go and get yourself measured. There's the ugly face of Campion, who went there last week and got himself measured up for a new set of specs. And he's got some coming through, and he'll be another sort of 2 or 3 days, I think, now. He might even have them tonight, you never know, because mine came through within a week. But the lenses are awesome. They're superb. Even if you don't want your Niku and you want to keep your existing frames, you can just send your frames off over to Hoya. Hoya will grind you out a new pair, and you will get the best lenses there possibly are. And you remember the old lenses that I had? Just literally days before I got these, we had the bash, and someone threw a water balloon at me. I'd forgotten I'd got my glasses on, and it cleaned my glasses clean off. And those glasses skated face down across a rough concrete path. And I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. Those are the only pair of glasses I got. And I walk over and pick them up. There wasn't a single mark on the lenses, not even a scratch. I was absolutely gobsmacked. So that's the quality of Hoya lenses for you. They're really superb. Get yourself into a Hoya shop and say, oh, did you do your Niku? And they'll go, no. And you go, shame that, and walk away. That's the way to do it. Definitely. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
Okay, I got two. One is just specifically for your mate sitting across the way from you. On your phone, you have to get the brand new Manchester United app. This app is awesome. So you can follow the best team in footy. It's literally the sauce. Like, you get to stay updated on news and things like that. Especially helpful when I'm not surrounded by all the tabloids that come out to tell you all of the crap that's going on. This is how I stay updated. It's a really well put together app. Even if you're not into the team, it's cool to check out the technology that they imparted in the app.
Is it very unbiased as well?
What?
Is it very unbiased?
No, it's not unbiased. It's a Manchester United app. What kind of stupid person would make an unbiased app about their team?
Dude, I was joking. I was joking. Like, I was joking with Brett, man. It was just chill.
Anyway, this is something that this Christensen cat turned me on to about a year and a half ago, and I messed with it, whatever, and I go, yeah, going back to Lightroom. Lightroom is my sauce. But I finally updated to the newest version, and the newest version is pretty amazing. So I still use Lightroom, and it does work extremely well with Lightroom, but you can use it as a standalone kit too if for whatever reason, you know, you don't want to pay your Lightroom subscription, whatever, is because you can just pay one time for $69. Go to skyloom.com and check out Luminar 2018. When we first talked about this, that wasn't the name of the app. They changed the name, and I completely forget what the old one was, but Skyloom is the MacFun guys. I guess they got tired of explaining what MacFun was. It kind of sounded like noodles if you're from China. But this app is so, so, so awesome. It does so many things. It makes it so easy to tweak and adjust your photos and stuff like that. And the UI and the interface is, to me, a lot better than the controls on the side of Lightroom. So even in Lightroom, which I still use for my organization, in that once I do all of my picks, I'll get to the ones that I want to sweeten. And then you press the plug-in extra, have it jump over to to Luminar, and you go in and you fix everything. And it does amazing work. It's raw processing. It's way faster. And again, like I said, if you're not a Lightroom guy, it will do your organizing in your library and all of that whatnot. And the most amazing part of this is that it's only $69. But to get an idea of what it could do, go to the skyloom.com page, hit on Luminar 2018, and scroll your way down to where, I guess, like the middle, and it shows you some of the edits you can do. And it actually has live edits on their webpage where you can slide these sliders to kind of see like what it will do to your images. And I can't speak highly enough about how dope this is. This is a really, really cool photo fixing and enhancing software. And it kind of makes me want to go out and shoot more.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. I've never really, I've had a play with that to review it enough, but I'm too much into the, I found the slider actually not, it was almost like it cheated the photo to make it look better. It made the pre one look worse than it should have. So when you took the photo and opened it up and shoved it in, and then you opened the same photo in Photoshop, they were two completely different photos, and the pre photo in Luminar looked worse. So when you slid the slider, it looked way, way, way better.
So they changed it now. So when you first open the app, and I was the same way, because I used it when it was the original MacFun name, which I still can't remember.
Yeah, no, love MacFun.
What was it called?
What?
Adam?
Oh, they've gone through a bunch of iterations. I think Luminar was designed and developed ground up as its own product. It sort of replaces... I don't remember the name of the old app.
I forget the name, too.
There was a suite. It was like Creative Kit or something like that, which was
something like that. So you are now what happens, which the incredible part is when you first launch it the very first time, and of course you can change your mind later, it asks, are you like soccer mom, you just want cute pictures? Are you kind of sort of know what you're doing, but don't really know what you're doing, so it can pregame stuff for you? Or don't touch my crap, let me do everything by myself. And then so they've kind of given you an option with that, you know, in order to pick up the people who don't want to pay for Lightroom. So you can leave it at straight raw, comes in flat as a bird, you know, like, and especially, I mean, I guess I shoot in the still picture equivalent of S-Log. I shoot hella flat knowing that I can fix it.
Right. Okay. Good pick there, mate. It's not sillily priced either, is it?
No, $69. You got to try it again. I think you'll trip out. Even if it's just as a plug-in, I think you'll trip out at what they've been able to do in the last year and a half. It's quite amazing.
Speaking of the Lightroom thing, something I know they were working on was the digital asset management side of that app too. Yes. And I don't know if they've built it out yet.
They built it out. That's the other part that's cool. And again, it's designed for people who didn't like... See, Lightroom messed people up because they switched to Lightroom CC. Now, most people, if you're paying attention, you can still use Classic. And I suggest you do it because CC is a box of worms you don't want to get into. I started it. It messed up my libraries. It sucks. Lightroom Classic is great. So they did it because I guess people didn't know that you would still be able to use the old version of Lightroom. But it's scary when Adobe started dumbing down Lightroom. Because you wonder if that they're going to go to it sooner or later, because a lot of people do sort of need just a super ignorant, you know, all of photos management. A lot of people need that, you know, they're not ready to do the whole Lightroom swag. So these guys stepped in and gave you a really, really nice way. As a matter of fact, on their first page, when you click Lightroom Alternative, again, they give you the ABC. I'm sticking with Lightroom Classic. I like the new Lightroom. Nope, I want to use a brand new editor. And it gives you reasons as to why you should use itself in replace of any of the three answers.
Okay, fair enough. Good pick. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to pick something that I picked up a while back. Actually, I bought this when I needed to update my Mac Mini, my wife's Mac Mini, and put an SSD in it. I've had a different one of these from iFixit. It's an iFixit toolkit. I have like the big giant one that costs like $60. Mm-hmm. I needed just one driver for whatever reason. It was like a T8 or something like that that wasn't in that original kit because Apple had used a new size screw. So I picked this one up. This is called their Essentials Electronics Toolkit. And what's nice about it is it's only $20, but in here is every little bit and piece most people would need for doing any sort of iPhone or Mac repairs or upgrades. And a couple of the features I really like about this is it comes in this hard case and it magnets on the front so it seals up. But then inside the lid, they have a little parts organizer. So you can put all your screws in these little trays and keep everything organized.
Yeah, those lines are raised, aren't they? So the screws don't roll out of the little groupings. Yeah.
But it's got the little picks in here. It has the suction cup for pulling. If you have an iMac, pulling that off. It has a nice little spludger thing for getting through the glue that Apple likes to use on some of their stuff. And I use it. I use this thing for more than just electronics. Like anything... My kids' toys, like little battery drawers, like I am constantly grabbing this thing, and it's nice and compact. If you needed to travel with it, you could put it in a bag or something like that. And again, it's $20. It's just like it's a brilliant thing, and iFixit has a bunch of stuff like this, but this one's a nice little one, and I can't recommend it highly enough.
Well, I bought the last kit after you recommended it, and it's a great kit. I'm not complaining. But actually, the things that I use the most in that kit are what's in that Essentials kit. I don't use any of the other stuff.
Yeah, so they've pared it down. They've created this one, and it's the perfect sort of starter one. And again, it's just a handy thing to have around. You know, like I don't use it every day, but when I need it, I'm so glad I have it.
I keep mine down in the office here, and it's out regularly servicing the Sentry cameras. Yeah, good pick. Mr. Chuck, what do you have for us?
I'm going to pick something that you've been looking at pretty much the last time I was here and this time I was here, and that are the Audio Engine A5 Plus speakers, wireless speakers that are behind me. They come in the white that you see. They come in black. They come in bamboo. Pricing varies a little bit. These are not cheap speakers, but I tell you what, they are absolutely my favorite desktop speakers. They could easily move to my living room if I didn't want to rattle the window, if didn't need to rattle the windows. They can more than fill the room with sound. The thing I like probably the best about them, two things actually. First of all, the frequency response, that they don't color your music or your sound. They're pretty darn flat. So that if you need some highs or you need some lows, you can do it in the player, whatever you're pumping through it. So they don't have a real distinct sound signature. But they also can connect to just about anything, any way you want. You can do Bluetooth. They have the regular audio jacks on back. They have mini jack. So whatever you want to plug in or connect to these, you probably can do. Again, they're not necessarily inexpensive, but I've wasted way too much money on inexpensive speakers that say they're great. If I'm at the desk and working, and whether I'm editing audio or whether I'm just listening to music, this is what I want. And so I got these, and they now have a permanent place in the office right behind me.
Excellent, mate. Oh, a good set of speakers. Yeah, Feynman's not cheap. You can add a Sutworth for another $389.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Good pick. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Monsieur Tupstra, what do you have for us?
First, can I give a free tip?
Go on. Yep.
If you're running Mojave, if you're running a Mojave beta, macOS, and you use Chrome, you may have noticed that all of your checkboxes have disappeared. Anytime something has a checkbox, you can't see it. The trick, until they fix it, is just to zoom, like Command Shift plus zoom in by 10%, and your checkboxes will show back up. It's a vital tip. Oh, right. I felt the need. Public service announcement.
Like in the meantime, checkboxes.
What's that?
Is that what you mean? Like the HTML checkboxes? Like,
yeah. You know, any input, yeah, any checkbox input, radio buttons and checkboxes, they just disappear. Wow.
That's awesome.
And you have to guess where they are, and you can still click them, but you can't see them. And also in the console, like if you're playing with the inspector and you want to turn off a CSS style, you can't see the checkboxes anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
So, cool thing. I got the ultimate hacking keyboard, which coincidentally is called the ultimate hacking keyboard. It's a mechanical that is completely programmable, like the Ergo docs. You can control like what hardware signal every key sends, and then you have layers. So when you hold down like the mod button, it changes the entire keyboard, and you can assign new keys to everything. Like I hold down mod, and then my red keys, those are custom. They don't come like that. But then the red keys become my arrow keys, and then it splits. So you can get an ergonomic positioning on it. I position the feet on it so that I can tent out. And I've tried to like mechanical keyboards for years. I have probably $1,000 worth of mechanical keyboards that I don't use. This one I finally am sticking with. I'm loving it. I crowdfunded it, so I have an early one, but I believe they're available for pre-order. They're not cheap. Probably the most expensive keyboard I have. It's, I think, $250. But it's really cool.
It does look kind of cool. I mean, the old split keyboard as well. It's interesting that the B still goes to the wrong thumb. Because Microsoft did that. They split the B with the B on the left, and the B should go to the right if you're a touch typist.
I don't disagree, but it works for me because the one that gets me is I'm used to hitting Y with my left hand, which my typing instructor would have hated back in grade school. But having the Y split over to the right side has forced me to relearn how to, you know, do it properly. B, I do hit with my left as well, so that hasn't bothered me.
It's kind of cool when it's separated around the iPhone there on a little stand.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Either side. So you've backed that, so that was $250. Are they getting cheaper, or are they getting more expensive for people that turn up late?
Oh, I think they'll get more expensive. I don't think I even paid $250 when I crowdfunded it almost 2 years ago. I just got it.
Yeah, I've got a bit wary of crowdfunding projects now because I lost my money.
Me
on
too.
The,
yeah.
I did get
me too. I'd forgotten I even crowdfunded this. It showed up, yeah. I didn't even remember where it came from. I thought it was a birthday present.
I lost out, and I lost money on the Lily because the amount that they returned is against the crap exchange rate after Brexit. So I lost money on that, probably about £100. And then I've crowdfunded a thing called the Viral, which is supposed to be out in February this year, and I'm still waiting on that. Keep getting updates and the boards are overheating. And then I backed Noir Matter with their little micro gimbal for the GoPro 5. And I was losing heart on that. And I found their email by mistake because I'd forgotten that I'd funded it. And I just went, oi, where's me package? And they went, yeah, we're shipping 1st of August, like we said in the last update. And the dude wrote to me. He replied to my email. And he said, ironically, I've just checked, yours is going tomorrow. And sure enough, I got a shipping notification the day after. So it's on its way, but it's taken it 17, 18 days to get from wherever it is to the abroad shipping depot, wherever that is. because that's all it says. It doesn't tell me the where the shipping depot is, just abroad. So yeah, I'm skeptical of crowdfunding there a little bit, which is sad. It's a bit sad. My cool thing is what we talked about at the start, the Go Henry Visa card. So if you've got kids and you want them to have some money in their pocket as an emergency, so they can get home if they need to, or if they're out, they can have something with their friends if they get caught unawares and the friends say, let's go for dinner, or let's go to Kentucky or something like that, then you can give them this card. You preload it with a sum of money. There is no limit to how much you put on, but you can limit how much the child can get. So you can say, right, there's a maximum of £40, $40 per transaction, and you can't do more than $200 in a week, £200 in a week. Or you can limit less than that. You can tell them they can only have £5 a day. It doesn't matter. So it's good for lunch money and stuff like that at school. It does contactless payment, but you have to set it up with the PIN to start off with for the first transaction. But then it's fine for contactless. And Ellis has just used his to register for an Amazon account. So he's just bought his first thing off Amazon for his Fortnite money. His, what's it, V-Bucks. There we go. Downside is it's £2.50 a month rental, if you like, or fee. And if you put a massive amount of money in, like 100 or 200 quid, which is quite a lot of money for a kid to have on his card, there is a 50p surcharge on that, which I was a bit pissed off at, because the money's sat there now and they're making interest off the money. So it should be chargeless, really, which it might do it one day. But it's given Ellis a new lease of life. He's a little adult. And it's got to a zero balance and it can stop. So you can't run up a debt on this. He can't use it to get credit or anything like that. All it will let him do. And Adam, you were saying that you can actually limit on the types of things that he can purchase.
I think so, yeah. Right? So I was asking. It was more of a question.
You think that he can't go to certain stores, which sounds logical. I don't want him in Ann Summers or anything like that. Christ.
Yeah, they won't fit him.
the underwear won't fit him, yeah, no.
Does go to Kentucky mean something different in the UK?
KFC, Kentucky Fried
Chicken. Oh, okay.
We call it Muktucky as well sometimes.
That is around where I live, that is a dark reference. Like, you don't go to Kentucky.
Why? Oh, because you might get shot.
That and banjos and...
Suey.
Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi. Yeah, that it would mean something very different if someone said, yeah, I'm going to Mississippi, I'm going to Kentucky.
Okay, right.
I would worry.
No, we have a generic term for all fast foods by us, which is McTucky Hut. so it's like, where should we go? Should we do McTucky Hut tonight? If we do it, but we don't do it a lot. But it's Kentucky.
Oh, that's because of the Pizza Hut, the triple stores, right?
I don't know.
You have little food courts?
Well, no. So you guys don't have these where you live. KFC and Pizza Hut and what's the other restaurant?
Like Taco Bell.
Fish. Is it Taco Bell? They're all owned by the same company. They have stores where you have all three inside one store.
That is horrifying.
They're all owned by Pepsi.
Three little mini fast food places inside one.
Right. I suppose, though, it takes up less space.
So that's where I'm assuming that's where the
makes room for real restaurants.
The Hut comes from.
Right. Hmm. No.
Tucky Hut. Anyway, sorry.
All right. I digress. That's all right. No problem. Mm-hmm. Where can we get a hold of you? Duck.
If I don't get blown away this weekend, you can find me all over the internet at DOCROCK and on the Solid Podcast at solid.fm.
Muller has put two links in the chat room. One is showing your plight with the true weather around your area, and he's genuinely concerned. And the other one is the Birmingham City application, I think, in the iTunes store. No,
it's Quest. You can watch the Championship and Caroba Cup.
The Caroba Cup, that sounds like a classic.
Well, it's what was called the League Cup in the
past. Oh, right, okay, the League Cup.
So we can actually watch Man United, you know, they'll let him on there on occasion.
There you go, mate. Does he need the geo thing? Has he got to do some tunnelling?
I have no idea. Watch it in England.
Mate, you might need to do a bit of tunnelling, mate, but there you go. Click Muller's link. That's the first time I've ever said that. Click Muller's link, dude. Adam, where are you?
Real easy. You can find me at MacCast.com, MacCast on your favorite podcast app, and MacCast on social media.
Excellent, mate. Mr. Joyner.
Sort of same as Adam. MacVoices.com is where you can find me. Follow me on Twitter as at Chuck Joyner. And come on over. See what I'm doing.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And Brett.
BrettTerpstra.com with three T's in the middle, and TT Scoff on every imaginable social network.
Good to have you, mate. Don't leave it too long before you're back again. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech. Next week we will be back. Next week we're not on at all. No shows next week at all. I'm going to have some time with the family. It's the last chance before the summer holidays, before they go back to school. So I'm going to be spending time with them. But then the following week, we're back to normal. Thursday night for Big Show and Friday night for Mac Show. Back this afternoon or this evening here in the UK for the Big Show at 8 p.m. Until then, have a great weekend and thanks for listening.